Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom or great peace have those who love his Torah or those who love the instructions, the commandments in which he has given us. His instructions, his commandment actually brings peace and joy unto our lives. And it says that nothing shall cause them to stumble. It sets our feet upon a firm foundation. So because of that, we're going to go ahead and jump into his word today. We are going to jump into this week's Torah portion, and we are in Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to start with verse 1. Now, these are the instructions, you could say, or the rules that are given concerning servants, if a person was going to have a servant, and we'll get into discussing that here. So Exodus chapter 21 and verse 1, now these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife or her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Now, first thing I kind of want to mention here is when the scripture is talking about the servant here or the slave, as when a person would become a slave unto another person, it was because that person has made either some bad decisions, some bad choices, or they are in a hard spot. Now, remember the way they lived back then, if you didn't own land, if you didn't have land to where you could have cattle or you could grow, you know, grapes or have some kind of vineyard or something, you were going to struggle and basically you were going to be poor and not have anything to eat. They're really isn't much talked about at this moment in time in scripture where it talks about them going to a marketplace and buying stuff as we live in the world today. So you needed land and you needed to have sheep and you needed to have a vineyard and stuff like that in order to be able to feed yourself and to be able to feed your family. So if a person came upon a situation where they lost their land or they did not have the ability to take care of themselves, there was this system that Yahweh had set up so that those who were hurting, those who were poor, would be taken care of. And what was the answer? Well, the answer was that they could go and work for another individual who had land. And they could be a hired hand for that individual. And in return for being their hired hand, they were given a place to stay and they were fed and they were to be treated justly in this situation. And as we see in this, they were to be set free in the seventh year. We also see in another part of scripture that when they are set free in the seventh year, that their master who they have served with are supposed to bless them on the way out. And I would say this is because this is a method set up so that this person who doesn't have anything now has something to start with and they're not going out there with nothing. They have something to build their life with. They have something that they can work with in order to effectively provide for them and their family. So this was a way in their culture and their time in which a person who was poor could have their means taken care of. Okay. Now, what I really wanted to kind of talk about though here in this thing is number one, it does point us to the fact though, in the seventh year, we see the fact that they go free. This points us to redemption. It shows us what Yeshua did for us. Because when we think about this concept of this person who is poor and unable to provide for themselves, spiritually, that's where we were. And that's where every person on this earth has found themselves at one point in time. And there are some people who are still in that place. where they are under the bondage of sin. They are serving sin. And they cannot get out from underneath the bondage of sin on their own. When we think about this Hebrew slave who didn't own any land, didn't have any cattle, didn't have a vineyard, that person had no chance to be able to ever build something for themselves. They were at the mercy of the help from their brother. They needed the ability to come work for their brother, to be set free graciously in the seventh year with a blessing so that they could no longer be poor. It's the same thing with us with sin. We do not have the ability to set ourselves free from sin. We do not have the ability to change what we do, the way we talk, the way we live, the way we think, what we do. We are under the bondage or underneath the power of sin. We are trapped underneath the judgment of sin, of what is to come. We will all stand before our Maker one day. Whether or not you believe in Him as the Maker or not, you will stand before Him and you will give an account for what you have done. And there is only one thing that is going to set you free. There's only one thing that is able and possible to wash away all your sins, to cleanse you of all that you have done wrong, for you to obtain mercy and forgiveness so that when you stand before the Creator, He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that is the blood of Yeshua. So it is our belief in Yeshua. When we believe that He died upon that cross for us and on the third day, He rose out of that grave alive. And we believe that by His blood, there is forgiveness of sins. So we invite Him into our hearts. We start that relationship with Him. That is akin to this Hebrew slave who is set free in the seventh year. So it points to the forgiveness that we get. Scripture talks about how He removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. You know, we have a harder time forgiving ourselves of what we have done wrong than He actually does forgiving us. And when we sin, the things that we have done, when we look back upon and we see the things that we say that we can be ashamed of, you know, we offended Him in those moments in time, yes, but He forgives us. And He is quicker to forgive us a lot of times, faster than we're willing to give up the shame of what we're walking through because of what we've done. But if we can just learn to trust in the fact that He has forgiven us, to let the shame go, and to know that He has forgiven us. He has cleansed us. He doesn't see that anymore. When He looks at us, He sees the blood of His Son, Yeshua. That is what Yeshua was. He was our atoning sacrifice. And atonement meant that blood was poured out, and that blood covered over the sins, meaning that the sins could no longer be seen because they were under the blood of the atoning sacrifice. So our sin is hidden by the blood of Yeshua. So He has forgiven us. He has cleansed us. And He will remove that shame. He will remove the guilt that we try to hold on to. Because His desire is for us to be free of that. He has set us free from our sin. He hasn't set us free to just do whatever we want to do. He has set us free from our sin. And now we live a life where we are trying our best to walk in His righteousness, to do that which is right, to walk as He walked, to be set apart from this world, to no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed into His image. And by His blood and by His Spirit, we are free to do so. And in order to do that, we need to first let go of all shame and guilt. As long as we hold on to shame and guilt, we're going to be trapped into the patterns of our past. Okay, now the second thing we see here in this scripture is the fact that it actually talks about how if the slave himself desires to actually stay with his master, because he says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. So he has married a wife that belonged to his master. So if he was to leave, he would lose his wife, he would lose his children. But it also says that he loves his master and how he is willing to become a servant or that slave unto his master for his entire lifetime. This speaks of Yeshua as well. He is that good master, that good person to whom we are to serve. He has set us free. He has cleansed us from our sin. He has forgiven us. But now we are to live our life as a servant unto him for the rest of our lives. And we do it because he's the good master, because he loved us. He loved us first. It's because of his love for us that should be our motivation to want to serve him and to want to walk in obedience to him. Remember, the scripture tells us, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So we show love unto him by keeping his commandments. That's why we walk in obedience, to show him we love him, and it's because he first loved us. Let's look at John chapter 10. Now, this chapter talks about Yeshua being the good shepherd. So we're going from good master unto good shepherd. Let's look at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We'll pause here for a moment. So we are the sheep. And this speaks of the fact that there will be those, and it's the enemy, Satan, he will send forth his agents who will come and try to steal from the sheep. He will come and try to deceive the sheep or God's people or even the people on the earth. He is going to try to lead people astray. He wants people to follow him and not follow Yeshua. He wants people serving him, not serving Yeshua. So when we think about the Hebrew slave, ultimately Satan's desire is for you to be in debt and in bondage unto him. God wants you to be free, to walk in liberty, and out of the love that you have for him, that you choose to serve him and walk in his ways. But see, he does not have the right to the door, so he has to sneak in another way. But there is one who has access by the door, and it's the one who comes in the door that is the shepherd. Verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So here in these passages, the gatekeeper, this is speaking of God, of Yahweh himself. He is the one who has access to the gate and is going to allow in through the door the one who is supposed to be able to come in through the door. And that is being Yeshua. He is the one who laid down his life for the sheep. We're going to see that here in a bit. Okay, so we, as followers of Yeshua, those who have said, I love you and I want to follow you, I want to serve you the rest of my life, What does he speak about us? It says that we hear his voice. So we are those who know his voice. We know when he is speaking to us. We know when he is guiding us. We know his voice. And it says that he calls his own sheep by name. He knows your name. Another scripture talks about how he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about you. He is concerned about you. He loves you. His desire is for you. He wants to protect you. He wants to bring peace into your life. He wants to bring healing and wholeness into your life. He desires to restore that which the enemy has stolen from you. And he is wanting to lead you down his paths of righteousness. So it's a matter of us knowing his voice so that we can follow him down his paths of righteousness. And that's what it says. They know his voice and they follow him. The voice of the stranger they do not follow. That is the voices of this world. That is the voice of Satan himself. That is the voice of temptation. The voice that would speak and try to lead you contrary to his word and his commandments and what he has instructed us and commanded us to do. So when temptation comes, we don't follow temptation. We don't follow the desire or the voice to want to fit in with everyone around us. We don't hear the temptation and give in to it. But we resist the temptation. We stand strong against the temptation. And we choose instead to be obedient to his word. We follow his voice first, number one, by knowing his word, by knowing his commands and the instructions in which he has given us, and walking in obedience to his commands and his instructions. And in doing so, that is one of the ways that we can rest assured and know that we are not following the stranger. Let's look at verse 6. This figure of speech Yeshua used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Yeshua again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So here we see Yeshua is making a distinction between him and Satan. Satan is a thief. His desire is to come and to steal, kill, and destroy from every individual on earth. That is his desire. That is why he has come. That is why he tries to sneak into the flock. It's because he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But Yeshua says, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." So when we take a pause and we look at our lives and we see what has gone on in our lives, the times that we have experienced life and we have experienced it abundantly, those are times that we can look and say, that is the time when Yeshua is at work in my life. But when we see the times where Satan has come and tried to destroy us, and he will use other people to try to steal, kill, and destroy you. He will have people come and steal from you. Not just physical things, but steal emotionally from you. Mentally steal things from you. Steal innocence from people. Kill things inside of you. May not physically kill you, but kill innocence within you, within people. He will send people to come and destroy us because they are being used by him and by his demonic forces. And so there are people who have experienced this pain and this hurt, and they are trapped in this because they have had this occur to them, and they have not experienced the good news or the life that comes from being with the Good Shepherd. They haven't experienced the healing that he can bring and how he can mend that stuff and fix that stuff. So that's why we, as believers, need to speak of the Good Shepherd, of the one that we serve, of the blessings that we have with him, of the healing that we have with him, the joy that we have, the liberty, the freedom we have in serving him. There is liberty and there is freedom in walking in obedience to his instructions and his commandments. It's not the other way around. See, the devil would try to say it's not. He tries to say it's bondage. He tries to say there's no fun in that. There's no joy in that, but it's the exact opposite. He tries to deceive us and lead us away from the commands, away from his instructions, so that he can steal, kill, and destroy from us. So if anyone will enter by Yeshua, he will be saved. So any person who will reach out and call upon his name, who believes upon the fact that Yeshua died upon that cross, and that by his blood there is forgiveness of sins, that he cleanses us from all of our sins, all that we have done wrong, then we are able to go in and out. We will find pasture, or we will experience the blessings of life. We will experience the blessing of being with him. We will have life abundantly. That does not mean that we will not still face trials and temptations. It doesn't mean that life is going to go perfectly. But as we walk through the valleys, as we walk through dark areas in our life, we can know that our Good Shepherd is with us and he is leading us through those time periods. And even though we may be going through a valley, we may be going through a dark spell, we can still have joy and we can still have his peace or his shalom, his completeness at work in our life. Let's look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That is the very reason why we have a desire to want to walk in obedience to his word, is because he laid down his life for us. And he wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants to talk with us. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to spend time in meditation, allow him to speak to our hearts as well. Let's look at verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. So here Yeshua is telling us he has other sheep that are not of this fold. There are people in this world that are lost as of right now that are his. They are his sheep. They need to hear his voice. And if they are given the opportunity to hear his voice, they will listen. So we need to be serious about being out there and making him known. We are told to go into the world to make disciples of all nations, because he has other sheep that are not currently in the fold that will listen to his voice. And one last thing here. There's one flock and one shepherd. There is one set of instructions and commandments for all of his people. Ezekiel chapter 34 in verse 11. For thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on the rich pastures they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord Yahweh. Hallelujah. That is the joy that we have to look forward to. Our good shepherd is seeking out his flock. He is looking for those who are scattered. He is going to rescue his flock. He is going to rescue us from this world in the coming days ahead. That is the joy that we had to look forward to. And when he rescues us, we will feed on the mountains of Israel. We will experience the blessings of being with him. We shall lack no good thing. We will walk in the full blessings of our Lord and Savior. And his promise is that he will be our shepherd. He will protect us. He will guide us. That is what a shepherd does. Not only does a shepherd lead his sheep, so he is leading us down the path that we need to be on, so that in the future, when he comes to gather his sheep, we will be gathered. The shepherd also feeds his sheep. He provides for his sheep. He provides for us. A shepherd protects his sheep, and he is protecting us. He protects his people. Those that belong unto Yeshua, the enemy cannot steal them from him. That is what the Father told unto Yeshua. Let's look at verse 16. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. He is going to find the sheep that are lost. We need to be busy looking for the sheep that are lost. He brings back those who are injured. He binds them up. He heals them. He strengthens the weak. I spoke of before those who have experienced the hurts and the pain from the evil one, those who have had things stolen, those who have had things destroyed in their life because of the work of the evil one. Well, Yeshua has come, and he will bind up those who are injured. He will return unto you what the enemy has stolen from you. Let's look at verse 17. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats? Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? And to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. So here we're seeing a bit of a warning. We see this concept that there are those who have taken no regard for those around them, that they have not thought about the welfare or the well-being of their neighbor. Remember, all of the Torah hangs upon two things: loving God and loving people. We are to love people as we love ourselves. His Torah, the commands, instructions he has given us, are just instructions on how to love God and how to love people. So this first instruction that we read regarding the Hebrew slave, this was an instruction given to them on how they could look after in a right manner one who was in a tough spot. How to be a blessing unto their neighbor who was poor. In this verse here, we see people who are not looking out after those who are poor, but instead they are pushing them to the side so that they could get even fatter. That's where he says, I will judge between the fat and the lean. We are all going to stand before him and take account for what we have done. Those who have not been his sheep, who have not followed his voice, will pay the price for their sin. One of those being the fact that they pushed aside the need of their brothers. He is coming to take vengeance upon the evil one who has done harm unto his people. Hallelujah. I look forward to the day that we will see the vengeance of Yahweh on this earth. But let me tell you something. We also need to be filled with his compassion, because his judgment is not a light thing. So we need to be moved with compassion, to be that sounding alarm so that people can hear the good news, can hear the gospel, because there are those that are out there that are his sheep who need to hear and who will listen to his voice. So we need to sound the alarm so that they will have that opportunity to hear his voice, so that when judgment comes, the judge will look upon them and he will see the blood of Yeshua instead of seeing the filthiness of their sin. So we need to be a people who are filled with his Spirit. That is the reason why he has given us his Spirit. Two things. By his Spirit, we are able to walk in obedience to his word, because we could never do it on our own. So let's walk in obedience to his word. Let people see our good light and praise our Heavenly Father. Yes. But his Spirit also anoints us and empowers us to be that witness, to share the gospel of Yeshua to those around us. And we need to do it. We need to be serious about it. So let's be filled with his Spirit And as scripture says, heaven rejoices when one sheep returns to him. So let's be filled with his love and his compassion. Let's be like our good master. Our master loved us. He laid down his life for us so that we could experience life and have it more abundantly. So let's be willing to lay down ourselves so that others may hear his voice and experience life and have it more abundantly. Well, I hope that this has blessed you. We are so glad that you have joined us again this week for this teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So we hope that you join us again next week. So come back now and shalom, y'all.